You are listening to the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
What up with you? Doug Gottlieb, Jason McIntyre, Dan Patrick Show. Happy Meat Friday to you here on Fox Sports Radio. If only there was something to talk about. Because we're still reacting to last night's games, getting ready for tonight's games. Then we have Rick Carlisle, 2 years left in his contract, like, I'm out. This 2 days after The Athletic has a piece that says the Mavericks are a dysfunctional mess, right? General manager gone, head coach gone. Mark Cuban calls the article BS. Crazy. Zion Williamson's family's unhappy. I think family translates into one person, but we'll get to that. Want to hear something amazing? Discover matches all the cash back you earn on your credit card at the end of your first year automatically with no limit to how much you could earn. How amazing is that? In fact, it's even more amazing because of all the places where Discover is accepted. 99% of the places in the U.S. that take credit cards take Discover. So when it comes to Discover, get used to hearing yes more often. Learn more at discover.com/yes. 2021 Nielsen Report. Limitations apply. Jace, let's get into tonight, because tonight will be a referendum on the 76ers and Doc Rivers in his first year as head coach of the 76ers. You obviously are not a Doc Rivers fan.
I mean, that's a little harsh. I like to deal in facts and reality, Doug. And the reality is Doc Rivers has underachieved greatly as a head coach in the NBA. He got gifted a championship when Danny Ainge delivered him Kevin Garnett and Ray Allen. Otherwise, it's been playoff failure after playoff failure. And as the number one seed this year in the East, the Sixers, everything had lined up for them to go to the NBA Finals. The process was going to finally come through, and they go ahead and choke away Game 5. I mean, Doug, I don't know that I've ever seen anything in the last decade that bad. I mean, this was, no joke, almost as bad as the Patriots being down 28-3 to the Falcons and then coming back and winning. I know that's a Super Bowl and this is the game
they
five.
Out Atlanta did an Atlanta team. I get it.
But, I mean, they were up 26 at home and they lost. I mean, Doug, you know basketball, okay? You know coaching.
Really hard
to
lose that
game. The Atlanta Hawks had benched their starting, not their starting backcourt, but they'd benched Herter and Bogdanovich. The Hawks, for like a final 7 minutes, went with Lou Williams and Trae Young in the backcourt. Doug, I'm not even kidding. You and I could have mild success scoring on those two right now. That's how bad of a defensive backcourt that was. And the 76ers did nothing. Doug, this is an embarrassment. I don't know how Doc Rivers went to sleep that night, honestly.
Well, I'm sure he probably didn't sleep particularly well. It should be pointed out that Doc Rivers was terrible at the free throw line, right? Man, I can't believe it. Doc Rivers, who somehow like metamorphosized and shaped his body to look like Ben Simmons. And Doc Rivers also embodied Tobias Harris, who was terrible down the stretch. These are all kind of Doc Rivers. But yes, you're right. When you have previous playoff collapses, it does call into question, what are you doing over there, right? How are you not? Now, part of it is how this team is shaped, right? They go to that bench, and it's a lot like any time you have a surgical procedure. No matter how well it may go, every time you go under the knife, something bad can happen, and eventually you build up scar tissue. That bench let him down, and then the starters let him down.
Well, wait, Doug, hold on. You did miss one thing. Tobias Harris is the highest-paid player on the Sixers, $34 million.
Yep.
He didn't score a basket in the second half. Okay.
No, I mean, Doug,
one more thing. Yeah. You've gone camping with your kids. Let's just say you get a massive cut.
I've never gone camping with my kids.
Okay. You get a massive cut on your arm and it is bleeding. You could easily bleed out when you're camping. You've got to apply a tourniquet. You've got to stop the bleeding.
Yes.
Doc Rivers did not once stop the bleeding in the fourth quarter. He did absolutely nothing. I joked on Straight Fire that, you know, Scooby-Doo, that great show, you know, at the end of Scooby-Doo, they would solve the mystery and they would pull a mask off the bad guy to reveal, you know, somebody that they knew.
And if it wasn't for those meddling kids, I would have gotten away with
it,
too.
Exactly. So I joked that when they pulled the mask off Doc Rivers at the end of Game 5, you would see Mike Budenholzer of the Bucks, because that's how bad and awful the offense was for the 76ers. They weren't running sets. I mean, Doug, you know basketball plays. You call them with your son. I didn't see one play called in like the fourth quarter other than, hey, Tobias, dribble around, try a fadeaway, do something. Joel, do something. I mean, that's not basketball, and Doc Rivers should be embarrassed.
Okay, I thought the Scooby-Doo analogy was good, But remember, you don't have to quote yourself. You can just say it, right? You can just say it. You know, let me quote myself and what I said, and just say it. It's because I hadn't heard the take, and it's a pretty damn good take. I will say that Doc pointed out that this is an issue with his team in a previous loss where he talked about them getting selfish, because this team does have a tendency to get selfish. And then what do you do with Ben Simmons? I mean, that it's really hard to hide guys that not only can't shoot but don't want to shoot, and then you can't make a free throw, and then everybody in the gym. Yeah. Here's how you'll know if he can coach: how they play tonight, and the energy by which they play. Because they were up 25 points for a reason. They're up 26 points for a reason, right? Because they did have some things figured out, and he did put them in position, and they did share the basketball, and it was working. So after that level of defeat, this is where real coaching takes place. Is all right now. What now? Because if they lay down like dogs tonight, because if you go back and remember the Nuggets series last year, right? Huge leads, fourth quarter, lost it, fall apart. They're up 3-1. All right, it's 3-2. Same thing happened in game 6. In game 7, it did look like the stress of it had overcome them.
They did lead by double digits at halftime of the final 3 games. So the second half, Doc really choked.
Well, okay, but I mean, there's some sort of level of acceptance that the players make the plays. I do think that the coaches are responsible. Like, I always love that when, and you're guilty of this, but so are so many others, right? When his teams lose, it's Doc Rivers. When the team wins, it's the players.
I think it's nuanced because it's how they lost. You're dominating that game for 3 quarters, and then in the fourth, you totally collapse. Like, that's really bad. Now, there is some similarities between this and what Kevin Durant did, right? You know, the Nets were basically outplayed in Game 5 for 2.5 quarters, and then Durant took over. You know, basically the 76ers rolled them for 3 quarters and then collapsed. I do think the Sixers win tonight. For the gamblers out there, line opened at Sixers, favored in the Highlight Factory by 1.5. It's out to 3 now. So a lot of folks seem to think, listen, the 76ers are the better team.
Yes.
As long as Doc Rivers doesn't, you know, trip over his 2 left feet, they should prevail here on the road.
Okay. For me, I believe that's a sign of quality coaching. It's not just about talent, but it's about the ability to get guys back up off the deck, and we'll see if they can force a game 7.
Do you want to do fake Ben Simmons trades? Because we could do an hour on them. I mean, there's so many good options, Doug, for moving Ben Simmons, and you have to agree. If they lose, you got to figure Simmons gets traded. Remember, Daryl Morey tried to trade Ben Simmons for James Harden early this year. Sure. Of course, the Rockets would not deal with Morey because he had just landed in Philly. But at the same time, is Doc Rivers in trouble? Because we just saw Stan Van Gundy get fired after 9 months in New Orleans. Hold on. And I had Tom Haberstroh on my podcast, Straight Fire, today. And guess what? Daryl Morey did not hire Doc Rivers. They hired Doc Rivers, then Morey came aboard. So if Daryl Morey says, listen, hey, I got to get my guy in here, is Doc Rivers in trouble?
No.
Unequivocally no, or maybe not?
No, he's not in trouble his first year. Mm-hmm. He's not in trouble his first year, you know. Because look, they've already done the fire the GM, they fired the coach, and so the next one to fall would be one of the two star players. That's generally the way it works. Because if you're gonna fire Doc Rivers, who are you gonna hire? You're gonna hire Rick Carlisle? That's the only guy
out there who's won a championship. It sounds like, you know, texting some people last night, it sounds like Rick Carlisle's probably gonna end up with the Pacers. But I
heard Stotts to the Pacers, but okay,
interesting.
It doesn't matter. I don't think Rick Carlisle pulls the trigger and parachutes out of there with 2 years left in his deal unless he had another contract.
Real quick, I think Chauncey Billups, who has been potential for many, many jobs. We've seen Steve Kerr, a former player, and then a announcer go to the booth. We saw Steve Nash go quickly to the sidelines, has had some success, I know, with the stack team. I think Chauncey Billups is the guy to watch. I think he can handpick his job, whether it's Celtics, whether it's New Orleans, and at Dallas. But I would not be shocked if they looked at Chauncey Billups in Philly, if they boot Doc Rivers.
Wait, who? Chauncey Billups?
Chauncey Billups, yeah. These younger dudes, like Carlisle's 61, you know?
Listen, I'm glad you brought that up. I mean, that's going to be the trend here in the NBA.
Yes.
Okay? I mean, Jamal Mosley, who, full disclosure, is a friend. He played for my dad in AU. Like, Jamal's been a grinder and didn't play in the league, but was a damn good player at Colorado. Like, the younger guys who have league cred, those are the ones who are going to get most of these jobs, mm-hmm. most of them. The difference becomes when you have it, it's all where you have a team, right? If you have a championship caliber team, boy, it's really hard to give a job to an unproven guy, because in order to win a championship in the NBA, a lot of times you have to have won a championship in the NBA, right? You have to have respect to the locker room at the highest level. To have respect to the locker room at the highest level, you have to have won at the highest level. It's okay, like a catch 22.
Well, and Chauncey could be the one.
Yes.
How did he get it?
He got it out of relationships.
With
Sean
Durant.
Marks is his guy, and Sean Marks is him. Our ex teammates and close friends, and I'm sure that there's a good portion of it which is like, man, how are we going to get a guy who knows how to communicate with superstars mm-hmm. on their level? Steve Nash is kind of the one guy. Do I think Chauncey could potentially be that type of guy because he's played and he's been so respected? Yes. But do I think it becomes a turnstile in Philadelphia? Probably not. I mean, like, look, Philadelphia's biggest issue, okay? Everybody talks about Simmons shooting. Like, yeah, okay. Like, their biggest issue is their bench. The Sixers bench was outscored by the Hawks bench 39-13. And your bench gets outscored by 26 points, right? And there you go. It's what they haven't been able to do to put around. So when these guys come out of the game, knowing Embiid's always going to have to come out, and of course, they inherited Ben Simmons, and Simmons is a hard one, right? He wants to be a point guard, but you got to put him in the dunker spot like you used to have to with Rondo with the Celtics. The problem is they don't have good enough players around like the Celtics did back in the day. I don't think it's a disaster yet. If they lose tonight, then it is, and heads will roll. But I don't think it's going to be Doc.
How about this?
In year one.
Ben Simmons to Portland for CJ McCollum. And so, I don't know, whatever salary matches up, Nasir Little, maybe Zach Collins, whatever you want to do. Does that help put more shooting around Joel Embiid and it moves Ben Simmons? I don't know. I think you could probably try. If I'm getting Ben Simmons, whatever organization I am trying something radical. I'm making him Draymond Green, my center slash point guard. He's defending opposing centers and taking pressure off Dame.
He can't defend opposing centers. He can guard 1-4.
Why not? Why can't he try? What great centers are there in the league that he can't guard?
Well, it all depends on the type of center, right? Like a small ball big, he could.
Yes.
Right? Like if it's a PJ Tucker, a Draymond Green, he could, and he does. If it's a roll rim guy, if it's a what's his name? And Rudy Gobert, Clint Capella. Those guys are hard to guard on screen roll action because it's just different, right? It's why you match up big to big,
right?
It's Jonas Valanciunas is like, oh, well, you just put Ben Simmons on. Like, no, Jonas Valanciunas would move Ben Simmons.
He's like an exception, but I'm just
every team has one. Right, that's actually not every team has.
Not every
one.
Team has a Jonas. I mean, come on, that guy put
no. They either have
numbers.
they either have a guy who rolls to the rim to finish, or the guy that can maybe only plays. You know, Zubac only plays.
Yeah, I'm not worried about
minutes.
Zubac. Yeah, but
here's where you're thinking very linearly. You're thinking just bold statement, Jason McIntyre-y, where the thing is, it's going back to your point about Rudy Gobert. Right, you can make Rudy Gobert chase you on the defensive end, as long as he doesn't hurt you at his offensive
end. Can he hurt you?
I think if they ran more pick and roll, yeah, like you can throw it to the rim and he can finish. But that's the flaw to Rudy Gobert is he can't score at the block at all.
I'm giving that all day. I'll give up twos all day for threes.
Well, the other question is, why would Portland want Ben Simmons?
Well, here's my thing. If you're Portland, you're not going to be able to get premier free agents. That's just the reality. They're not going there, okay?
Correct.
Number two. You have basically gotten as far as you can, conference finals, right? I think you need to do something radical, try something different. The biggest returns in life usually happen when you try something contrarian. Do something that really nobody else has done or nobody's willing to try. you can't just keep doing things in Portland. Let's try out the good backcourt. Let's be thin at small forward, and we've got some bigs and Nurkic and blah, blah, blah. Like, that's just not going to get you over the hump. I would sooner try something radically different.
Yeah.
Or just, you know, trade Dame and start over. Because, you know, you can't just trot out this Portland team again and expect to be a top four seed and maybe go to the finals. I would try something radical.
Those are the best points you've made. And look, for Damian Lillard, whoever they bring in, like, the truth of Damian Lillard is he's not really a passing point, mm-hmm. right? He's not really a point. He's a scorer, and he's not really a particularly good defender. He's not a terrible defender, but he's not a great defender at all. And so both of these things Ben Simmons would help with.
Yeah.
He's an outstanding passer.
How about this?
A versatile defender. The question is going to be, obviously, what do you do with him on offense, right? Obviously, if you play him as he's like a shrink four, shrink five, instead of a stretch four, yeah. stretch five. And I don't know if his personality and style appeals to Damian Lillard, who will probably have some sort of say in what they do because yeah. they want to acquiesce to his desires in order to always keep him on board with what Portland's doing.
How about this one? Ben Simmons to Charlotte in exchange for like Terry Rozier, Malik Monk, and whatever spare parts equal the salaries. And the thought process here is, man, you get Ben Simmons and LaMelo Ball. That is
what would be the appeal to the 76ers?
Well, you get shooting. You get a guy like Malik Monk who can make threes. I think Terry Rozier was like 38% from deep. Monk, in limited capacity, was very good this year. I just think if you're Philly, all you want is shooting. You got Tobias Harris. You got Seth Curry. You need a couple more shooters. I don't think Maxey's there yet.
They can't guard anybody. They're built around defense. They're one of
And where has it gotten them?
Well, it did give them a 26-point lead in the second round of the playoffs, right?
It's
so,
fair.
I mean, again, you're completely changing. And look, then there's the big elephant in the room, which is do you actually trust Joel Embiid's going to stay healthy?
I don't. But okay. Ben Simmons Doug, that I have to concede. I have been criminally wrong about Ben Simmons. I have tooted that Ben Simmons has been the guy. I would trade Embiid. I would build around Ben Simmons. And this postseason, I cannot defend it anymore. I mean, I'm embarrassed that I have rode this train so far. I mean, he is criminally bad.
Something you just said about Portland, it's true about Oklahoma City, and I think it's true about New Orleans, I think is all wrapped up in this next story. Could Zion Williamson be the first player to forego his rookie extension? We'll get to that upcoming next.
Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 to noon Eastern, or 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Dan Patrick Show at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Doug Gottlieb, Jason McIntyre, in for Dan and the Danettes, Dan Patrick Show. Fox Sports Radio. Jason's been waiting for this story all day. You know, he's just been, he's been waiting. Okay, so was it yesterday that Stan Van Gundy or the day before? All the firings and the days come together. I don't know. There have been a lot of firings. 7 open jobs in the NBA. There are a couple others that people aren't talking about that aren't open, but are definitely not secure. But the end of the Stan Van Gundy era took place. But the bigger news, and this is from Shams Charania, Joe Varden, and William Gilroy, all worked together in the story for The Athletic, is Zion Williamson and his family aren't happy, right? That's really what it is. They're unhappy. Zion at the end of his year press conference said, "It's disappointing. I'd be lying to you if I said anything else. It's very disappointing, but the best thing we can do is regroup, come together, blah, 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 blah." So to me, Jason, like there's two big things coming out of this, and it relates to the Dallas story where we don't know we don't know the level of happiness with Luka, but all reports are that, and he just had a press conference where it looks like he's still going to sign the extension, but he wasn't terribly happy with where that franchise was going. He had butted heads with some people. So the question becomes, one, how how unproven a star, but how long do you before we start having to acquiesce to you? Mm-hmm. And two, and this is like you when we said the NBA is headed for becoming an AAU program, that's what this is, right? Players want to change teams, parents unhappy with how a guy kid's being used or how much somebody's playing, you know, infighting between parents and spouses and whatever amongst themselves, and massive upheaval of coaches and general managers. Like that's what it is. And then the last part is the part that you kind of pointed out, which is these small market teams, they just can't get free agents to sign there. So they have to do everything to hold on to players. And when you do everything to hold on to a player, it doesn't seem to work anyway.
Yeah. I would push back a little on the AAU because in AAU, you know, if you're unhappy, just go to another team. Try, you know, I don't know whether it's tryout or get recruited by, but you can bounce around. In the NBA, you're kind of stuck with whoever drafts you. And everybody's gone through this. LeBron missed the playoffs the first 2 years in Cleveland and then gets to the finals when he's like 22. The Cavs try desperately to build around him as LeBron watches Dwight Howard get guys in Orlando. They go to the finals and the Celtics ante up with KG and Ray Allen. They win a title and LeBron's like, yo, what are you guys? You giving me like 32-year-old Antoine Jameson and aging Shaq? I'm out. And Kevin Durant sat in OKC and watched after they go to the finals that James Harden was traded, which is insanity to me. I don't know, Doug. I have to side with Zion here. As soon as you draft a superstar, whether it's Zion, Trae Young, Luka, or potential superstar, you have to build around them. The clock is ticking. And all the media, you know this, loves David Griffin. Okay, he plays the media well. He goes on TV. He's texting all these reporters. Nobody criticizes the guy. David Griffin is cuddling at night with all his future draft picks, and he's not doing anything. That team right now in New Orleans is not better than when they drafted Zion. And they've got a big decision with Lonzo. They have a huge decision with Josh Hart. And I don't see a path to success for this team. They do seem very, very dysfunctional. They fired their last coach. Now, Stan Van Gundy's gone after 9 months. I mean, Doug, I've got plants that have grown more in 9 months than the New Orleans Pelicans. This team is trouble, and if I'm Zion or I'm in his circle, I'm saying, bro, don't sign a damn thing. See if they can build around you. Look in Memphis at what Ja Morant has cooking. They have a much better roster, and they were in the playoffs. They stole a game from the Jazz. I know Donovan Mitchell missed it, but Memphis has a real basketball team. They have an actual future. New Orleans, to me, has nothing. And if I'm Zion, I'm being that guy. I'm being that villain the same way KD went to the Warriors and LeBron went to left to go to the South Beach. I'm being Zion. I'm wearing that villain hat, and I am becoming a major star in a real market.
Well, I do think that one of the things we never teach younger guys is accountability, right? Like, it's always about everybody else. Zion wasn't in shape until this year, and even this year, how great a shape is he actually in, right? He's in pretty good shape. Better than he had been, but still not to the level where you feel like he can play all 82 and bring the proper amount of energy. He also can't shoot yet, and so you're playing him in a small ball five. I would disagree. I would push back greatly on, are they better off? Like, look, I'm not in love, but I'm in like with Brandon Ingram. Those are two good players you can build around. They fell apart when Josh Hart got hurt, who's a big part of what they do off the bench.
The Steven Adams contract, well, you can see that was kind of a
disaster. I never understood that
one. Yep, that was a bad move.
Didn't understand that one at all. Like, I know you need a big body, you know, but I feel like you can get a big body on the cheap. Why are you taking on that exorbitant contract? Yeah. That one didn't make sense to me at all. Unless you think, like, his leadership and his presence and, you know, he's an egoless guy, I guess, but he just doesn't have the goods as a player to be making what he's making, right?
Hold on, Doug.
If he's a couple million dollars, then it's fine. And you start him and then you take him out when you want to go small.
So you said something about accountability for young guys, and I get that. That being said, the NBA is a star-driven league. And if you look at what's transpired here in the last, you know, 4 months, Trae Young, a budding star, butted heads with Lloyd Pierce in Atlanta, and Lloyd Pierce got fired. They bring in Nate McMillan, and boom, they're in the second round of the playoffs.
Sure.
They need one win away from the conference finals. Okay,
yes.
You look at Luka Doncic. Reports that him and Carlisle kind of butted heads. Carlisle, old school guy, 61 years old. I will defend Carlisle. I know him a little bit through a friend. It didn't work out, and the coach gets fired. And here we go. Stan Van Gundy versus Ingram and Zion. And guess who's going to win out? The stars are going to win out. I agree with you. Accountability matters. But in the NBA, it's real tough, man. These young stars in the small markets, you've got to keep them. You've got to do whatever you can to appease them.
You got to appease them in the major markets as well. It's you reach the point where the players have like, look, here's what people don't remember about Michael Jordan. He didn't want Phil Jackson to be his head coach.
True, yeah.
He didn't want to run the damn triangle offense. Yep. I don't want to run a triangle offense. You know, like, give me the ball, get out of the way, and get somebody who can make a shot when I pass it to him. They're like, no, we're going to. And they butted heads. You know, obviously, Kobe and Shaq, it was different levels of embracing it, but it was because Phil had won previously. So it is not easy. You know, a guy who knows a lot more about the inner workings of this is Ryan Hollins, 10-year NBA vet. And of course, he's got the Opinionated Seven Footers podcast. Follow him on Twitter at the Ryan Hollins. Ryan, let's start in NOLA. If you're David Griffin, how do you try and make it work with Zion?
Well, you got to bring him in somewhat. I know he's young in this hiring process. You know, he's got to feel comfortable in the next head coach that you bring in. Yeah, it's got to be someone who can relate to him, who can speak to him, but also isn't going to just give him his way and let this be the Zion show. I played in situations where I knew the star player had more control than the head coach, and it was ugly. It was ugly. We weren't a good team. It didn't work out. I'm not going to name no names. I'm going to just leave that out there for you guys. It didn't work out. And I've been in situations where the head coach had respect, and a star player knew how to do what he needed to do. But Zion Williamson has to learn how to be a superstar. He got superstar-like talent. I think he's over-exceeded at least my expectations and many of our expectations, but he's still on the cusp of like, hey, kind of what are you in this league? And to me, it's no gosh darn excuse anywhere on anybody's planet that they couldn't get the 10th seed or better in the Western Conference with two All-Stars on the same team. We don't need to go down that road. But ultimately, he needs a coach who can get him in line. And ultimately, I love the idea of a former player or someone who can talk that talk, because you got to be able to relate to your players. And you got one job as a head coach in the NBA: relate to your players.
I don't know, Ryan. It sounds like you're pinning some of his struggles on Zion. I mean, he was the best post scorer in the NBA this year. He's basically shattered all records for teenager.
Why couldn't they win?
Because the roster stinks.
Why couldn't they win?
David Griffin put together a garbage roster. Garbage is harsh. These guys are professional athletes.
Brandon Ingram is garbage.
Brandon Ingram is a good scorer. That's what Brandon Ingram is. He's a good scorer. He's a good number three. They paid him like he's the number one or two.
He's a very good scorer.
He's
not mini Durant, but he's not far behind. Their roster, they don't play any defense.
Two All-Stars can't get you the 10th spot? Stop it. Don't do that.
So none of this falls on the shoulders of Van Gundy and Griffin. You're putting it all on Zion?
No, some of it is, but what Ryan's saying is like, look, some of what Stan Van Gundy wanted them to do is still going to be a problem no matter who's the coach. Stan Van Gundy, he wanted to play defense. They don't play any defense.
Nobody in the NBA plays defense.
Westbrook alone can get you to the playoffs.
Russell Westbrook alone?
If Russell Westbrook alone.
Bradley Beal was an all-NBA player, Ryan. Stop. He was an all-NBA player this year.
It was the East, and he had Brad.
Westbrook didn't do that in the West. In OKC, once Kevin Durant left. Don't do that with me. Let's not talk. Russell Westbrook couldn't do that alone.
They had Victor Oladipo. Yeah, Victor Oladipo was on.
And it was a championship caliber team that you took him out, and he, like, what do we do? Well, I don't know how we veered off course. Okay, so I agree with you on talk. Like, I think that's the trend that you're seeing in the NBA, right? Guys that are Ty Lue, guys that are yep. Steve Nash, guys that are in their 40s, played, or Jamal Mosley, relatable. That guys, the old NBA coach thing is kind of tired, kind of going away. Who's the guy in New Orleans? Is it Fred Vinson? Is that who they elevate?
I don't know about that. Chauncey Billups.
I think you got to go after. You know, obviously it's looking like Jason Kidd is off the market. Maybe the right price may sway him. A Chauncey Billups. There's a number of guys you got to, you know, Fizdale. Maybe it doesn't have to be a former big time pro. You know, maybe an assistant, a relatable assistant there. So I'm not clear. I mean, shoot, Sam Cassell. You know, I don't know why people haven't thrown money at Sam Cassell yet. We saw how excellent he was with Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, and John Wall, you know, outside of the injuries, hadn't really played as well a basketball as since, you know, he was with Sam Cassell, kind of tutoring and mentoring him. I'm seeing his growth. But you've got to have someone that develops. But it's got, you know, you got to talk the talk. Doug, you're a former player. You know what the talk is. There's a different talk in the locker room. You got to be able to talk the talk. You know, Ty Lue, when Ty Lue was an assistant, when I was in Boston and L.A., he was able to get in KG's behind just because he talked the talk. He understood it. You know, he knew buttons to push. You know, I heard him scream at Blake Griffin and Chris Paul when they weren't doing their jobs. You know, you got to have someone who can relate. And there's levels to this, and there's a different type of unwritten rule in the locker room that an assistant or a former player may have and understand that the head coach may not. You know, and Zion Williamson in particular, he needs someone who can push those right buttons. Well, Luka Doncic clearly needed someone who can push the right buttons. I mean, he played well, but clearly he wasn't on the same page with Rick Carlisle, a coach that I played for.
Ryan, let me ask you. I'm with you on the former player, but what happened? What about Lloyd Pierce in Atlanta? Lloyd Pierce and Trae Young seemed to get along last year, and then they had the off-season summer of love out here. All these great stories about how the Hawks were bonding. And then, you know, everybody's hurt, and Lloyd Pierce gets fired. He apparently, Trae Young didn't like him, wanted a new guy, and now we got kind of an old-school guy, Nate McMillan. Is he old-school enough? I mean, he played hell in the 80s.
See, here's the thing. Lloyd may have been, for one, Lloyd may have been too young, and for two, Trae Young at that stage in his career may have had a little bit of too much freedom.
Yes, yes.
What do I mean by that? I haven't been there in that locker room. I haven't spoken to people, but from the outset and looking at things that I've heard, Trae Young was just all-powerful without having all the wins and was kind of running amok and saying what he wanted to. And I'm sure when Nate McMillan came into that locker room, he brought respect to those guys. Those guys learned how to be teammates. They learned how to grow. So Trae was too young to have the young coach.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Because respect is a huge factor. You know, like when LeBron looked at Ty Lue, he could be like, dog, I played with MJ. I was in there with MJ. I was in there with Kobe. I was in there with Shaq. So not only do I know how to talk to you, I'm a world champion. I got something that you want to have. You know what I'm saying? Or I've seen guys go places where you want to go. So you do have to carry a strong level of respect. And I just think Nate McMillan was a good mix. You didn't need a young guy or coach in that. And Lloyd is a great coach.
No, listen. And a lot of it's about, it's not necessarily about whether or not a guy can do it or can't do it, but the timing and the fit and the, like,
respect.
You know, there's where do you get a player? What is the Trae Young thing, as you pointed out, is hard, right? Came in the league and he plays a way in which he's going to dominate the ball. He'll take that one extra dribble so he makes sure he gets an assist. He wasn't particularly good defensively. You got to hold him accountable, and yet you still need him to grow in order to be. It's a hard one. It's really hard. All right, let's get to really quickly. How much do you hold Doc Rivers accountable for what happened two nights ago?
Here's the math. Doc Rivers has been a part of some of the largest comebacks in NBA history, and he's got to take accountability for that as a coach. But for me, and I've screamed from the mountaintops from day one, Doug, I've been assassinated a lot more than you via social media and internet, all that. I said the problems with Ben Simmons were just glaring, and Philadelphia wouldn't have true success until he found a jump shot or just something efficient in fourth quarters. And in the second half of that game, for Ben Simmons to go completely ineffective is inexcusable. I mean, hot damn it, get the ball on the post. You know, missing free throws at the guard spot is inexcusable. So for only Joel Embiid to have a ball in his hands and Curry to score in the second half of that game, it's just not going to work. If you were coaching against Doc Rivers and you knew damn well at some point Nate McMillan knew, who are y'all going to down the stretch? You can't post up down the stretch. You're running Joel Embiid off of stagger screens. Like, it's just not going to work. So once Jimmy Butler left, Philly's chances went down the tube.
Oh.
And it looked like Nate McMillan figured it out. Said, whoa, 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 who are they going to, guys? They don't have anybody to go to.
Oh.
Who's their closer? Hold on. You name a closer. Jason, don't do that. Name me the closer in Philly.
Listen, Ryan.
I'll wait.
This was the number one team in the East. Best record. They steamrolled the Hawks for three quarters, and it was simply a fourth quarter collapse because of Doc Rivers. Don't pin this all on Ben Simmons because he hasn't taken a shot in the fourth quarter of the last two games.
At some point,
Tobias Harris, he's making the most money on that damn roster.
Jason, you couldn't lock him. You could lock him in the gym. He couldn't score 10 a game, right?
He's one of the youngest all-stars in NBA history. One of the best defenders in the league.
Hold on. So is Doc's fault that he can't make a free throw?
No, it's Doc's fault that he couldn't stop the bleeding.
He can't make a free throw.
It's okay. Let's get to. We're not going to convince Jason. Jason, this is like convincing Donald Trump that the election
he lost the election. That's a lie. That's not even close.
He lost the election.
Mr. President, you lost.
No. Mr. President, you lost. You lost. We checked it all out and you lost. No.
33% on Ben Simmons. You could go 33% on Tobias Harris and you go 34% on Doc. Let me ask this. Hold on. Is Luka Doncic's job in Dallas, is that a good coaching job given what we know about Mark Cuban, about the shadow GM Harlebob, and Luka Doncic being a superstar? Is that a good job in Dallas? And think this over before you answer, oh, great, they got the best player in the league.
Man, you guys know I don't cuss, but you almost made me cuss, Jason McIntyre, and I don't cuss. Are you kidding me? That is an amazing job. You want to know why? Because Mark Cuban is willing to do anything to win. When Steve Ballmer came into the Clippers, okay, maybe we can say, well, Kawhi, you didn't do this, or Doc, but Steve Ballmer was like, oh, here, boom, here are the keys. What do y'all need? Mark Cuban is the same way, saying, what do you need to win? What do I need to put around you? Luka, I got my guy. Sorry, Luka, you're bigger than Donnie Nelson. You're bigger than Rick Carlisle. Rick, thank you for your services, but no thank you. Luka Doncic, I can win a championship with you. And if you step in as a head coach, you got to come in. The one thing I will say, you got to have respect. When I was there the year prior, sometime the coach prior was Avery Johnson. Now, the problem is when Avery got promoted, Avery was getting micromanaged.
Right.
So if you are a coach, you got to have the respect there where Cuban ain't sending you cards and say, put this guy in the game or run this or change
that. That's what the shadow GM is doing. And by the way, Mark Cuban will do anything to win, but he hasn't won a playoff series in a decade. So, yeah, you're right, Ryan.
He'll do anything. Don't do that. He has a championship.
He does,
do that, Jason.
11 years ago or what, 10 years ago.
It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter.
One more than all these other dudes. Can the Nets win as currently comprised against the Bucks, or will the Nets win as currently comprised against the Bucks?
They will. James Harden is getting better and better. He actually kind of looked like himself for a couple possessions, if not a quarter, last night. If I had to put my money on Middleton and Giannis or Kevin Durant by himself, I'm going with Kevin Durant. I thought the chess match behind the scenes was excellent from Bud, because Bud, if you watch on film, and I want to point this out, the basketball nerd in me is jumping out. Kevin Durant arguably has the most prolific fadeaway jumper in NBA history. Sorry, Michael Jordan. And what they started to do is they overplayed his fadeaway and ran a double team from the baseline. That's the defense I've never seen. Yeah.
It is? You've never seen the baseline double?
No. It was for the jumper, though, for the fadeaway.
Yeah.
when KD went to his move, the defender just jumped and sold out, and then the second guy came late. Normally that double team, you force a guy to drive and you double team the drive. I've never seen a double team on the fadeaway, but it was an intriguing way that Bud played it. Giannis didn't take a three-pointer. The hardest thing that Kevin Garnett told me in my career during our playoff run was that the hardest thing you ever do is eliminate a team. I don't care how good or bad they are. It's hard to eliminate a team. Hardest thing you're ever going to do in your life is eliminated a team at the playoffs, and the Bucks showed us that last night. But in a game 7 at the crib, I've got my money on easy money sniper, fellas.
That's Ryan Hollins, 10-year NBA vet. Check out the Opinionated 7-Footers podcast. Thanks so much, Ryan.
Entire, you son Nelson. I'm on my way, man. I'll be there in 15 minutes, bro.
All right, good. You can answer this question. Will the Clippers get to the Western Conference Finals without Kawhi? Find out next.
Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app.
Hey, this is Jason McIntyre. Join me every weekday morning on my podcast, Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre. This isn't your typical sports pod pushing the same tired narratives down your throat every day. Straight Fire gives you honest opinions on all the biggest sports headlines, accurate stats to help you win big at the sports book, and all the best guests. Do yourself a favor and listen to Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The GOAT Hip Hop Summer Song with Jason McIntyre. I'm Doug Gottlieb. This is the Dan Patrick Show, Fox Sports Radio. So, Jason, you said the jury's still out on Ty Lue.
Yeah.
Okay. Can the Clippers win one of these last two?
I think so. That's my gut. Every time you want to trust them, they fail. And then when you're like, oh, no, they got no shot, they win. That's how it's worked for the Clippers. So I kind of think they win tonight. You know, it helps that Donovan Mitchell's basically playing on one leg, and Mike Conley has a hamstring that cannot be healed. I can't believe they can't find Mr. Miyagi or his young son or his grandson to fix Mike Conley. But this is just gutting for Utah.
Miyagi was single. That was pretty obvious. If
really?
You watched the movie.
Come right? on. He has to have a kid somewhere. I know he passed away in real life, R.I.P., Pat Morita. I'm a big Karate Kid fan. And, by the way, are you watching Cobra Kai?
No.
What?
No.
You're going to like it, dude. And you can watch it with the kids. There are some adult themes, but your kids are a little older than mine. So I feel bad for Utah, right? This was their shot. You know, home court advantage.
The Donovan Mitchell playing on one leg. Like, come on.
What do you mean, come on? All he's doing is jacking threes.
No, he's still attacking the basket pretty much.
I mean, the last two games, he's settling a lot.
Because they're doing a better
job. He's questionable tonight, Doug. Come on.
Okay. So do you think the Clippers are going to win?
I do. And I'm going to take some more heat because I've been bashing them all year. I said there were contestants on The Bachelor who had a better chance at the ring than the Clippers this year. And now Kawhi's hurt, and they're going to go to the conference finals, which is kind of laughable. But as long as the Suns have Chris Paul and this COVID scare, and it's crazy because he has the vaccine, according to multiple reports.
Yeah,
I think the Suns get to the NBA finals. I don't know if they win. I don't know if they beat the Hawks or not in the finals. I mean, this postseason's crazy. Like, you could make a case all seven teams could win it still, right, Doug? Anybody?
I guess. I don't see the Hawks winning it even if they win this series. I struggle to see the 76ers winning it even if they win the series. I do think the Bucks or the Nets could win it. Nets have to be healthy. Suns, I can't see the Clippers winning it. I can see the Clippers winning one of the next two, but I can't see them winning the NBA Finals.
I wouldn't trust Mike Budenholzer to walk my dog while I was on vacation. I don't trust him to win the conference finals. I don't care if they're favored.
They did just win last night. The constant buzzkill, Jason McIntyre. Could Luka drive away potential head coaching candidates? Find out next.